Hello again, friends. It's good to greet you here. For the next quarter hour, we're going to deal with the gospel of Christ, and we hope you'll stay tuned for the entire service. We do want to say, as we bring this to you today, that we want to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us in Kent at this time, why do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come in thy sanctified presence with glad hearts that you've been with us, that you've spared our lives, and we now have an opportunity not alone to preach the gospel, but to hear its marvelous truth. And we are glad for all who listen today, Father, and may this wonderful seed of the kingdom go in not alone into their homes or family circle, but into the hearts of each person, young people and older people, all of us going along through this life together who need Jesus Christ, for we find it's appointed once for man to die and after that the judgment. And we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as we know the Bible teaches in Romans 3:23. We don't want to continue on in that sin, Father, for the wages of sin is death. But we want to know that the gift of God is eternal life. We pray for those who are sick, and we pray for those in sorrow. We pray for governments of the world, including our own. And may men see clearly from thy word that there must be peace gained with thee, and then they'll see clearly to be at peace with their fellow man. We're glad for those who make this broadcast possible. And as us beam forth, may the Lord bless them, as there will be souls that will believe the word and obey it, become Christians, become a part of the work in various communities, and advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Be with us, Father, then to this end. This we humbly ask in his name, who died that we might live, Jesus the Christ. And amen. Well, we talked about how do we receive the gospel, and then someone says, well, how do we live it? You see, that's a good way to phrase the question, because we do live the gospel. We mentioned on a couple of broadcasts ago in Philippians 1:27 that the Christians there were told to let their life, the conversation is the word used in the King James translation, but it talks about their conduct. It's more than what they say. It also includes what they do. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. So we are to live by the gospel. That's a good question. How do we live by it? Well, just as we did when we were sinners, we had to begin with ourselves. We had to begin right where we were. And let's say, for the sake of example on this broadcast, that you've already done that. You've obeyed the gospel. You've heard the word. You've believed it. You've repented. You've confessed your faith in Christ, that you believe he's the Son of God, and you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, there's scripture for all of that. We dealt with that on the broadcast last week. We ask you to check it out. Now you're made free from sin. Here's the Christian life. You're a newborn babe. You're going to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. But again, you're going to have to start right where you are. And your first obligation in this Christian life is to God. That's your first obligation. He must hold the prime position in your life. And when we say your main interest is in God, we mean Jesus Christ. We mean the teaching of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the spiritual life. That's your main interest. So you're a newborn babe in Christ. You have an opportunity for growing. Now, you must render unto God in your life, and this doesn't alone include what we do on so-called Sunday in the church building, but it certainly deals with every facet of our life. If we're going to grow as a newborn babe in Christ, we're going to have to be fed, we're going to have to be exercised, we're going to have to be encouraged to live this Christian life. So the Lord has made a very wonderful provision that we are to assemble together just as often as the first day of the week comes. Now, that doesn't mean that's the only time we can come together. Many faithful disciples come together at least 3 times a week, and sometimes more than that. But in Hebrews 10:25, where some of the Christians were growing weak, he told them not to forsake the assembling of themselves actually was. There were some who were failing to assemble. They had turned their back upon Christ. He said, don't do that. Now, in the assembly upon the first day of the week, there is the breaking of bread. Acts 20:7 says the disciples came together upon the first day of the week to break bread. That was over at Troas or Troy. Now, the breaking of bread, as you understand, no doubt from the scripture, was the use of the bread and the fruit of the vine that had been instituted by Jesus the night before he died. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. So Christians come together upon the first day of the week. That's when the apostles' doctrine, the teaching that was given to the apostles, was made known to them, that the disciples were to do this on the first day of the week. Now, back here, God's people under the old covenant, the law of Moses, They were doing things of worship to God upon the seventh day, the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day never was the first day of the week. Now we're on this side of the cross, in rightly dividing the word of truth, we have a new teaching, the gospel for the entire world. Men can be saved, whether they be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, male or female. So there is an assembly upon the first day of the week to remember the Lord's death. That's an important event. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we have a teaching regarding the collection. They were to do this upon the first day of the week. So they were to give as they were prospered out of their prosperity that God had given them. This is an obligation between the individual Christian and Almighty God in Jesus Christ. And they sang and they prayed and they exhorted one another and they went forth to serve. Now how do we live by the gospel? Well, all you have to do is just look at your New Testament today on the broadcast and ask yourself the question, how many of these writings, how many of these chapters deal with what I must do to be a Christian? Now, you might find a number of them outside of the book of Acts, but basically the book of Acts tells you what to do and tells me what to do to be a Christian. And here's all these epistles, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and so on. They tell us, either as congregations, as individual Christians, as evangelists, as general epistles, what we are to do in the Christian life. Now, it doesn't end at the church building door. But I said that we're going to begin where we were, and as newborn babe in Christ, we desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby, and we begin with God. This was proper, because you remember Jesus said when he was asked during his personal ministry, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he didn't hesitate. He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, this is the first and great commandment. Well, God still holds the so-called pole position. And then you see, we render service to our fellow man. Now, we can render service to our brethren in the church building, but it's out here into the marketplace of life. It's out here where we're going to be spending at least 6 days out of the week, where we truly have an opportunity to live the Christian life. That's where the greatest challenge is going to come. Well, someone says, how do you do this? Well, the point is that you have to consider who you are, what God wants you to do, and where you're going. So here's a good reference to keep in mind as was given to Christians, and I'm sure there are some newborn babes in Christ included in this. In Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Well, someone says, what's it mean to live in the Spirit? Well, it's much like the early disciples in Jerusalem. You see, 3,000 souls, about that many, gladly received and were baptized, as we have reported in Acts 2:41. Then the first thing they did was to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So see, here's something you could continue in. Here's something you could walk in. Here's something you could live in. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, someone says, explain this, preacher. Well, let's go back in this fifth chapter of Galatians. Let's go back to verse 16, where he actually says, walk in the Spirit. Now, the first thing that happens, if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, you're not giving place to the devil. You're not letting his teaching into your life. You're not following him. You're not listening to what he has to offer. He's not going to do you any good. He's not pro-God. He's not pro-Christian. He's not pro-Bible. He's con all of them. He's in opposition to them. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then he tells us what the works of the flesh are down in verse 19. He says there are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. He also includes envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You see, we can't walk that way. That's the way of the flesh. That takes us right back into sin. But then notice this in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the Spirit walk. And I'd like to have you picture with me now on the broadcast today of you getting up early in a beautiful morning. The sun is just coming up. The dew has fallen upon every little leaf and every little grass, and you walk into a beautiful garden. You're going to see some weeds in that garden. They got to be eradicated. They got to be cast out. But you're going to see a garden there that's beautiful. And we take that walk, much as the song says, in the garden with Jesus. Now, what do we find here growing in this garden? What do we find is planted in this garden? Well, here's what he says about the fruit of the Spirit. So it's certainly of the Spirit in verse 22. He said it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, I want to make this clear. These are strong points. They're not weak points. You know, it's much like a brother who raises orchids told me a lot of people when they think of an orchid, they think of something that's very fragile. But I saw some orchids in one of his greenhouses that the leaves on those orchids were, well, they just seemed to me to be almost like rubber. These things are durable. So the point is that such things as love and joy and peace and long-suffering, they're not weakness. They're strong. It takes a strong person to love God and to love his fellow man, to have joy in his life, to have peace in his life, to be long-suffering, to be gentle, to have goodness in his life, to have faith. He goes on by saying, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. So I believe that when we talk about living this Christian life, it's taking into our life a continued stream of this gospel. And I want to give you four rules that we've given all over the country. And if you can use them, why, certainly use them to the glory of God and the benefit of your soul. You must keep in contact with God as a Christian. So pray daily. You must keep in contact with the Word. So read the Bible and meditate upon it daily. You must keep in contact with your brethren, so don't miss the assemblies. You've got to keep in contact with yourself. Realize that you are the one that you're going to have to fight the battle with. That's the biggest battle in life. But you can live it if you live it according to the rules that God has given. Don't follow the devil. Don't give place to him, but let Jesus and his teaching come daily into your heart. May God bless us as we obey his marvelous truth.